This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
As the debate over religious freedom has raged around Australia, the voices of religious LGBTI people of colour has been noticeably absent. Neha Madhok is the National Co-Director of Democracy in Colour. She spoke to The Informer's Toby Halligan about the impact that the debate has had on people of colour.
So our concerns are twofold, and what they really look at is the fact that the intersections between various communities are not necessarily being considered by advocates, some advocates in different community spaces. So, for example, we can see that there are certain, you know, more minority or smaller scale in Australia religious groups. So, for instance, if you're in Islamic faith or Jewish faith or other minority faith that is also potentially linked to a multicultural community or to an immigrant community, your concerns when it comes to religious freedoms or religious discrimination will be ones that are also based around racism, race-based attacks, and religious, multicultural, and race-based. Then you've also got the potential wedge that's then being used. So you've got this idea that people of colour or multicultural people tend to be more religious as a perception. And then you've got this idea that religious people discriminate against LGBTI people. And while there is obviously, there is a lot of experience of that within the queer community, that's not necessarily the case. And we've got here the Australian Christian Lobby and the far more conservative groups being the very vocal ones in this religious discrimination debate, who are putting a particular view, and they're putting a view that is one that is, you know, not one that folks from the LGBTI community would prefer. What we're trying to do is be that voice of progressive multicultural people who are able to indicate, firstly, that to be a person of multicultural background doesn't necessarily mean you're homophobic. It can also mean that you are of the LGBTIQ community yourself, and that people shouldn't have the right to discriminate against your community either, whether it be the LGBTI community nor the multicultural or multi-faith communities.
It did seem like, in particular, after the marriage equality survey, there was a narrative that grew up around multicultural communities being homophobic. You are a member of the LGBTIQ plus community yourself, and obviously a member of a multicultural community. Can you give us some insight into, say, some public perceptions that you've seen discussed that you think are inaccurate?
Absolutely. So the way that I talk about my experience in that campaign in particular, so I was active on the Yes campaign, and I remember at the Sydney announcement as to what was going to happen, I stood there with bated breath with my fellow colleagues from the Yes campaign, and we were really excited. And when we first heard the result, we were overjoyed. But then as soon as we turned to our news feeds online to celebrate, our hearts also sank, because for many of us, including myself, I grew up in outer Western Sydney. That's my home. That's where so much of my experience is from. And we saw the no indications start to come in. And then we saw what happened on social media when white queer community members started to turn on people of colour or multicultural communities out in outer Western Sydney in so-called no voting areas. And we also know that the no vote was tied to a religious vote. However, what hasn't been done and what needs to be done is active work with people in those communities. Active conversations need to be happening to make sure that changes, because we are proof, many people involved in Democracy in Colour are proof that people from outer Western Sydney can be queer and can be of multicultural faith or background, and can also be progressive.
And when it comes to this religious freedom legislation, I know that there are a number of groups that are actually in support of this, including LGBTI groups, in the sense that they believe there are religious freedoms that do need to be built into legislation, because often in particular, people of multicultural backgrounds, and as you were alluding to earlier, in one of your earlier answers, are subject to discrimination on the basis of their faith. What kind of protections would Democracy in Colour like to see?
Sure. So we would like to see protections that ensure that someone is able to practice their faith in a way where they essentially don't experience discrimination. But we also want to make sure that it is a shield and not a sword. So we want to make sure that people are protected and people are able to go about their lives, their everyday lives, participate in their religion in a way that is fitting for them. But in doing so, they're not able to actively discriminate against others. So this should not be a license to discriminate against other members of the community because of your personal beliefs. You should simply be able to hold your personal beliefs and practice them.
And is your sense that when you engage with the government, they are sympathetic to these kinds of views?
I think it's mixed. Certainly there are people within the government who are sympathetic to our views and who understand where we're coming from. And there are others who, there are conversations that are ongoing.
Are there other issues that Democracy in Colour is concerned about presently? Yeah, you were alluding to this again before regarding discrimination within the LGBTI community against people of colour.
Yeah, I think it's really important that in this moment we look again at the way that we in the LGBTI community opening ourselves up to diversity and opening ourselves up to people in the community to make sure it can be as large and as inclusive as possible. As we were talking about before, after the marriage equality plebiscite was over, we saw how the far right commentators went out on media, and even the Prime Minister at the time, I believe Malcolm Turnbull, went out and said things along the lines of Muslim people are homophobic and look at what they've done and look at how they've come out against queer people, and trying to wedge those who are on the progressive side of politics with their anti-racism views and their pro-LGBTI views. And I think that in this particular case and with this particular issue, it's so important that we're making sure that folks who are of multicultural background are just as protected as folks are of LGBTIQ backgrounds, and that we do have a broader understanding, particularly within, as queer people and as LGBTI people, an understanding of what actual diversity within our community looks like. And it can be that people are of multi-faith backgrounds as well. Sometimes your culture and your religion and your community and your diasporic community in particular are so tied up that you don't want to leave one behind in order to be another. You may not want to leave your Hindu faith behind in order to be active in the queer community, and the two can go hand in hand.
Do you mind me asking, when you engage with the queer community or your colleagues at Democracy in Colour or other friends of yours who are LGBTI and multicultural, engage in, say, queer spaces or, gay bars, etc., is there a sense of acceptance?
Yeah, I think it's definitely mixed, and I think it depends on which areas of the community you're engaging in. I think, for example, gay men who are also of multicultural background tend to find that they don't have a particularly enjoyable experience in more mainstream avenues like Grindr or in Sydney on Oxford Street, where there is a lot of that, in quotation marks, no spice, no rice, or just blatant
racism.
Based
on absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think it's potentially a bit more insidious in the same-sex attracted women community, where it may not be as overt, but maybe, people might not be as interested in you on Tinder or at bars, but they just may not say what it is, but you always get a sense, and we do discuss it amongst ourselves, the sort of more microaggressive experiences we may have had. And then, of course, there's further complexity where folks who may be non-binary or trans have had to navigate these spaces along cultural lines and also the community itself. And I think within the broader progressive community or movement or whatever you want to call us, I think we just need to have some compassion for each other, look at we do need to look a little bit at where people's intentions are and where they lie. And I think sometimes people can fall behind that, oh, my intentions are good, and use that as a way to get out of it. But I do also think that sometimes people are trying, and we need to come into it with a preface that, okay, this person may have said the wrong thing, or they may have said something that was a bit questionable. Mm. What were they trying to do? Mm. Where were they trying to go? Mm. And then how have they reacted now to me sort of talking to them about it? I don't like to call people out. I prefer the term calling in, or like trying to work with people. Mm. And see how they react when you sort of say, oh, hey, I actually don't think that was okay. This is some reasons why. If they get defensive and start really getting upset, then I think it can go maybe a different way. Yeah. But I think if they are willing to listen and they are willing to learn and learn from their mistakes, then I don't think there's a particular problem with that. Hmm. Having said that, though, I think how this all plays out in the public arena is very different. I think people who are going out and speaking to the media on a regular basis, or who are maybe politicians or in representative roles, do have more of a responsibility to be careful on this, where it can be a bit harder to have, you know, those conversations in the public arena, and it is all about the soundbite and the snippet. Mm. So having said that, I recognise that it can be even harder in that context as well, because people are just sort of watching you and waiting for you to fail. But I think in a more personal or in a smaller context, looking at how we can actually talk to each other and learn from each other and building more of that culture, because I think otherwise we're just going to divide ourselves and we're going to lose people.
That was Neha Madog speaking to Toby Halligan. This is The Informer.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.